Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Today, we conclude our sermon series on the adventures of St. Paul, and we'll be looking at his later life and his sense of call today. The first reading comes from Acts 26, and this is a speech where Paul is speaking before King Agrippa in his later years. And the phrase I would like you to pay attention to is, "I was faithful to the heavenly vision." I was faithful to the heavenly vision. "So, King Agrippa, I was faithful to the heavenly vision. I preached first to the inhabitants of Damascus, and then to Jerusalem and all the country of Judea, and to the Gentiles, calling them to repent and return to God, and to prove their repentance by their deeds." And the next reading, again from Acts, describes Paul's coming to Rome, again toward the end of his life. "And then we came to Rome. Friends in Rome heard that we were on the way and came out to meet us. One group got as far as the Appian Way. Another group met us at three taverns. Emotion-packed meetings, as you can well imagine. Paul, brimming over with praise, led us in prayers of thanksgiving. When we actually entered Rome, they let Paul live in his own private quarters with a soldier who had been assigned to guard him. Paul lived for 2 years in his rented house. He welcomed everyone who came to visit. He urgently presented all matters of the kingdom of God. He explained everything about Jesus Christ, and his door was always open." Now, my next reading is outside of the Bible. It comes from Clement of Rome. And this is written maybe a generation after Paul. And it's got a very tantalizing mention. We know that Paul had a bucket list that he wanted to do, and one of those things was to conduct a mission in Spain. And Clement of Rome gives us the one mention we have that he actually did that. Acts doesn't mention it, but Clement says he did. This would be about 95 CE or AD. "Paul, because of jealousy and contention, has become the very example of endurance rewarded. He was in bonds 7 times, he was exiled, he was stoned, he preached in the East and in the West, winning a reputation for his faith. He taught righteousness to all the world." And here's the mention. "And after reaching the boundary of the setting of the sun." That's a phrase that was used for Spain. "And after reaching the boundary of the setting of the sun and bearing testimony before kings and rulers, he passed out of this world and was received in holy places." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Have you ever had a sense that God was asking you to perform some task? Have you ever had a sense that you are being called to do something to God's honor? That word calling is a strange word today. We don't hear it that often. It's a confusing word for some people. Occasionally, and I'm sure you've all heard this, occasionally we hear about someone being called to the Christian ministry. But the word is much wider than that. That's important, but the word is much wider. It can apply to anybody for virtually any task. That somehow we've got that sense that comes from elsewhere that we are being called to do some task. Now, in our reading today, we had St. Paul in his later years standing before Agrippa, King Agrippa, and he's giving an account of his life story. And he's referring to his religious experience on the Damascus Road. And if you remember, that wasn't just an experience of Christ, it was a commissioning where he was called to do something, to take the gospel to the nations. And now he stands before King Agrippa in his later years saying, you know, I was faithful to that heavenly vision. That's Paul. What about ourselves again? Have we ever had an experience of a calling, of a vision we've been asked to be faithful to in our own lives? Have you ever had the sense, perhaps in earlier years, where perhaps nothing as dramatic as St. Paul's experience on that Damascus Road, but maybe just a nudge, a little push to go into law, to go into journalism, to be a nurse, to be a teacher? Have we ever heard, you know, felt that it wasn't just ourselves, but something else was giving us a push into some work that we were called to do to God's honor? Wynton Marsalis is a tremendous jazz trumpeter. Do you all know him, Wynton Marsalis? For some reason, I think he has some connection with Waterbury, but I'm not sure of that. But anyway, Wynton Marsalis, grade A, world-class trumpeter, jazz trumpeter, recalls how he was in middle school, and he was in the first class of the fall, and he was in band. And he said, the band teacher gave this skinny kid with glasses a clarinet, and he gave a fat kid with big lips, a trumpet. And for some unforeseen reason, he gave me a trumpet. Tuba, the other guy. He gave me a trumpet. And then he said, play. And we all played, and we were terrible. But he said we were good. He must have seen something in us that we did not see in ourselves. And Wynton Marsalis put it this way: from that day on, I knew I had a call to play the trumpet. That was Marsalis. Paul had his own experience of call too. Now, we may have a call, but that doesn't mean there won't be distractions along the way. And I think I remember back to a World Series game. We're heading up to it now. And this was the Yankees versus the Milwaukee Braves. Yogi Berra was the catcher for the Yankees. And, you know, he was a bit of a character anyway. And during the game, while he was catcher, he would just give a lot of chatter. And this was to entertain the dugout, but it was also to distract the batter. And up came Hank Aarons to bat for the Milwaukee Braves. And Yogi Berra said to Hank, he said, "Hank, you're holding the bat wrong. You're supposed to hold it so you can read the trademark." And so the pitcher threw the ball, and wham! Henry Aarons just socked the ball into the stands for a home run. And he rounded the bases, and when he came to home plate, he said to Yogi, "I didn't come here to read." So there can be distractions along the way. It doesn't mean that it'll always be smooth sailing. And sometimes, even with a call, sometimes there can be pushback, there can be opposition, there can be failure, there can be disappointment. Now, another name for you. Frank Johnson. Has anyone here ever heard of Frank Johnson? No one. He's the man nobody knows, but probably has had an influence on modern American history as much as anybody. Frank Johnson was a lawyer, country lawyer, in the hills of Alabama. And he had a calling, he had a vision of the American Constitution unchained, an unchained Constitution. And he had a feeling that the Constitution had been changed since Reconstruction, and that segregation could continue only if the Constitution were kept in chains. And his vision was an unchanged document, unchanged. And what he did was he applied the 1954 school segregation ruling to public transport and to public services. He was the one who said Rosa Parks didn't have to sit in the back of the bus if she didn't want to. He was the one who took on Governor George Wallace and the whole pattern of segregation. He was the one who said the Selma March could go ahead. He stood up for his dream. But you know the way he was treated. He was shunned, his family was threatened, no one would talk to him. And even in church, his church friends turned their back on him. They wouldn't speak to him. Yet he was faithful to his heavenly vision, just like St. Paul. And, you know, the story is told in the later days when he would be retired and out fishing. Around noontime, he would say to his friends, "You know, it's time to salute the Constitution." And he would get out his favorite sour mash. And they'd all have a little sip of that. Just because you have a call doesn't mean there won't be pushback. There won't be times of failure or hardship. And St. Paul didn't have an easy time. He was faithful to his heavenly vision. And you know, this is kind of unbelievable. He had a vision of people from different cultures, different races, different ethnic groups, different languages, being one in the love of Christ Jesus. He had a vision of people coming from their different cultural heritages and bringing that cultural heritage as a treasure to Christ. And what was the response? He was beaten up. It's hard to believe with a message like that. He was beaten up, cast into prison, thrown out of town, shipwrecked, one thing after another. And yet, like Frank Johnson, he was faithful to his calling. I was faithful to the heavenly vision. I was faithful to the heavenly vision. This is true even when he got older. I remember something from George Burns, if you can remember back to George Burns, and reading a book he had done where he was talking about people who were 65 practicing to be old. And he said, what they do is they take little steps. And they groan when they sit down. And they groan when they get up. And they take little naps when you're talking to them. And he said, you know what? By the time they reach 70, they're a success. They're old. Now, Paul, toward the end of his life, was probably late 60s, early 70s. He had a good life, a good long life for that time. And he didn't always have an easy time of it either as he was older, you know. He had that thorn in the flesh. He never says what that was. But some people think it was bad eyesight. Other people think it was malaria. Whatever it was, he never really tells us. But he had some physical ailment that he carried through his life. And it didn't stop him. He kept on. And if Clement of Rome is right, even in his late years, he was exploring new missions. And Clement makes, and we know this was something Paul wanted to do. The whole letter of Romans is written in the New Testament. It's written to get that Roman church to sponsor him financially going to Spain. And according to Clement, he actually did that. And it's quite possible Spain would be a week by boat from Rome. It's quite possible. But he didn't let his later years slow him down. Again, what about ourselves? I have been faithful to the heavenly vision. Have we sensed in our younger lives or even in our later lives that there was something beyond ourselves that was asking us to perform a task, to do something? Will the day come when we can say, you know, I have been faithful to the heavenly vision. I have been faithful to the calling. Amen.